This is the third Chagura. So let's talk about the focus of Siman Reish Nun Aleph. It's a little bit at the end of Reish Nun Tes also, is a discussion about how to prioritize, how to allocate the tzedakah among different recipients, which is an important question. The last two Chaburas were talking about figuring out how much you're going to give. Then the question is, once you have that number, Masa Ksafim, or more or less, so how are you going to allocate that? So this is a phrase that the Beis Yosef quotes. It's already appears to have been quoted by the Rambam. Beis Yosef points out that the Mordechai is smarter coin is the phrase as well. It's a phrase on the pasuk of Tzedakah in Parshas Re'eh breaks down that pasuk and points out that you have a list of priorities that. You have family, and then you have geographical krovim, and then you have Eretz Yisrael, and then you have everyone else. And Sifrei breaks it down even more. Family, the Sifrei differentiates between achicha, if the fellow has half brothers on both sides, a blended family, you would give priority to a paternal brother over a maternal brother. And it's a phrase says we give based on the pasuk we give priority to aniyei ircha over aniyei ir acheres. That's a different type of kurva, not a familial kurva, but geographical kurva. And then finally, we give the precedence. Apparently, the last rung of precedence below aniyei, below krovin, below aniyei ircha, but before among the aniyei ir acheres, we give precedence to Eretz Yisrael over chutzal Eretz. And then he quotes the Chasam Sofer, Pitzchichu quotes the Chasam Sofer, and within any Eretz Yisrael, maybe you give precedence to any Yerushalayim over the rest of Eretz Yisrael. And then you keep working your way through the tour. The tour quotes from Sadigon. And the tour points out that even before this, based in part on the Gemara and Ksubis, and Dafnun, we talk about Krovim, so the highest level of Krovim is parents and children. And then beyond parents and children, you have other relatives, brothers from both sides, other Krovim, and then beyond Krovim, you look at Aniyei Ircha, and beyond Aniyei Ircha, you look at Eretz Yisrael, and then at all Aniyim. A couple of specific points about this list, and then maybe we'll use Aruch HaShulchan to sort of take a step back. So now, in terms of the question of banav ubinosav, in terms of the notion that one's going to use tzedakah money to support one's children, so that takes us back to the discussion we had last time. We were thinking about maaser ksafim and what expenses do you deduct when before you make your cheshbon of master ksafim, you saw the majority opinion is that you deduct business expenses, not household expenses. You don't leave out, you know, what you're spending on running a home. You're not just taking master ksafim from the discretionary income that's left after us. Now, first you look at this din, it sounds like, wow, forget about cheshbon master ksafim, actually spend the master ksafim on running my home. That's tzedakah near the top of the list of tzedakah is banav ubinosav. So this Kodesh Shulchan Aruch, based on Gemara in Ksubis, Daf Nun, and this is in Reish Nun Aleph. Reish Nun Aleph Se'if Gimel. They said, well, that's only Gedolim. She'enu chayvim mezonosim. Children are so young, you have to support them. So that's not tzedakah, that's not master ksafim. Master ksafim is something that I don't owe. Just as the poskim write, we saw this, I believe, last week in Reish Nun Tes, if I owe tzedakah as a knas, so I cannot give that tzedakah out of my master ksafim money. If I owe it, or for some other reason I owe tzedakah, that can be paid out of master ksafim, so too. The children are young enough that you're chayav to support them, so that's not master ksafim. That's taking care of your kids. But once they're old enough that you're not mechuyav to support them, you're choosing to do so anyways, that's what we call, that's tzedakah, and that's at the top of the priorities list. So the question is, what's called old enough? So the shachpots, and this is based on the Gemara, the shachpots of Kandalad, eno chayiv dehainu shein yisirim al sheish. They're over 6 years old. Up until 6 years old, you're going to support your kids. Once the kids are six and older, they're on their own. Medina de Gemara. So if you choose to support them anyways, in the goodness of your heart, that's tzedakah, that's masak zafim, that's going to be at the top of the list. So Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, the first chelik of tshuvas in Yeridea, I believe it's Simon Kuf Mem Gimel, Moshe Feinstein writes that was the din for many, many, many centuries. That is not the din Bizman Hazeh. He says, look, Bizman Hazeh, Minhag HaOlam is clearly that kids are not financially dependent anywhere near the age of six. Nowhere near. It's well more than a decade before the assumption in most typical situations that a child is going to be financially independent. So he says, well, but does that matter or not matter? That's Medina de Gemara. The fact that we do it, how does that make it a chiyuv? If it's not a chiyuv, so then it can come, if it's not a chov, it can come out of a tzedakah. So he points out that in the Sugya Ksubas, there is a discussion amongst the Rishonim how to understand the what's the lumdus of the chiyuv to support one's children. Where does that come from? Is that just an independent din based on a pasuk? Or he points out that he thinks that ikar kedivrei Haran, that the supporting one's children is al pidin, a normal, well-balanced father is going to want to support his children. But the notion that the halacha demands I support my children, so the Ran understands it's not merely an independent din, it's a part of the chiyuv mezonos ishto. That clearly there's a chiyuv mezonos ishto, and the chiyuv mezonos ishto is a larger subas in subas, but Moshe works his way through this. And the tshuva includes, it's clear, includes not only paying one's wife's personal bills, but giving her the chance, giving the opportunity to spend normally for the people around her. And that includes taking care of the kids. It even can include, the Gemara Ksuba says, taking care of, she came into the marriage with children from another father, so that can also often be a part of the chiv mizonos to one's wife, still going to be included. And so Moshe Feinstein points out based on the Ram, he says, take care of one's own children. That's part of the chiyuv mezonos to one's wife. That's part of the chiyuv mezonos to one's wife. So that, the chiyuv mezonos to one's wife, Moshe points out, once it falls under that rubric, so the Mishnayos are clear that, again, aside from the fact that in a normal, healthy situation, a normal, healthy marriage, you don't need a chiyuv mezonos to want to naturally support one's wife. But the fact that there's a formal chiyuv, mezonos, so the Mishnayos and Ksubas tell us that depends on what's typical in that society. It depends on what's typical in their stratum of society. Olimo and Yeredesimo. They said, look, if in our society it's normal and typical to support children until the end of teenagehood or often beyond, so then that's not just a nice idea, or it's not just something I would want to do. If that's typical, if that's made amakom, so that becomes a chiyuv mitam mezonos, as again, falling under the rubric of mezonos ishto, which is a din that's driven by minhag hamedina. So Moshe Feinstein writes, as such, to support one's children, bizman hazeh, that no one stops supporting one's children at age six, so then until the point that it's typical to support one's children, this is a family matter, so up until that point, that can't come from minor success. But once kids are at the point where in our society it is typical for them to be financially independent, but a fellow has a child who unfortunately is not able to get things together, is not able to support him or herself, and beyond the age where it would be typical that children are being supported by the parents, at that point, that is tzedakah. That's obviously a very appropriate and very, very important aspect of tzedakah. Charity begins in the home. That's the sifrei. There is a Gemara in Bava Metzia as well, which doesn't say exactly the same as the sifrei, but captures a lot of the essence of the sifrei, that there's a notion of korav kodim, and korav kodim means number one, family, and number two, Aniya Ircha, the number then you have the sephrase as the third element of Eretz Yisrael. All quoted by the Shulchan Aruch here, Resh and Aleph, Sif Gimel, again within Krovei Mishpacha. So we further break it down by the degree of Kurva, and parents and children are at the top of that list. And now the family, it's a remarkable situation. Very, very unique family. I'm not related, but I happen to have her. We have common friends. They live in a different part of the world. A family that has a number of children, and different kids have gone in and out of being in a good place financially and not being in a good place financially. The mother is a very, very unusual situation. The mother is a gabbai tzedakah for the family. And the kids, each, this is basically a family pool, and the kids are able to put a significant amount of their maaser into the family pool, and she's aware of who needs what, who's able to give and who needs to receive, and she allocates that pool to the kids to receive. And it's a way of giving. It's a combination of karv koden from Reish Manalf, because they're supporting siblings are supporting each other, and from Reish Manalf, that's Matan B'Seser. So you have a Dabat Staka, so the Makabal and those things don't know, they don't know who one another are. Again, it's a very usual situation where all the children are comfortable sharing their personal financial information with their mother, and she handles information obviously with incredible discretion vis-a-vis one another, and in terms of giving the kids their space. That's a very, very unique situation in a family where the dynamics are such that can work. So that's an incredible madriga of tzedakah. And if not, you don't have that gabbai tzedakah in place, still, the highest level of tzedakah is to give within the family, then you work your way down the levels. And in terms of, again, let's continue to work right down the levels, then we'll take a step back and look at the big picture with the Aruch HaShulchan, but first working through details. The din of Aniye Ircha Kodemin in Sif Gimel number the Shach points out Aniye Iro Kodemin Aniye Iracheres, and then the Shulchan continues Eretz Yisrael Kodem Yoshe Chutzlaretz. The Sifrei and the Shulchan Aruch never directly said, we just say Aniye Ircha is better than Aniye Iracheres, and then Eretz Yisrael take precedence over non-Eretz Yisrael. So how about Aniye Ircha versus Eretz Yisrael? My city in Chutz Laretz versus Eretz Yisrael. From the way that the Sifrei is organized, it sounds like Aniye Ircha come first, but it's not 100% clear, but the Shach writes, Sifkat and Vav, Afilu Iracheres or Eretz Yisrael. Aniye Ircha take precedence over all Iracheres. Within Iracheres, we then prioritize some other city in Eretz Yisrael versus some other city in Chutz Laretz. There was apparently one point in time, not so long ago, there was some fundraisers for Eretz Yisrael who claimed that there were major poskim who said the opposite, that you should be giving money to Eretz Yisrael over local tzedakas. But that's against the Shach. That's against the Shach, it's against the simple reading of the Sifrei and the Shulchan Aruch. That's an important point that often gets lost. But Bechlal, the notion of priorities in tzedakah giving, I think a number of major poskim have said that this is one of the most important shalos that rarely gets asked. If people are giving the right amount of tzedakah, Resh Mem Tes, but are they allocating it properly or just sort of haphazardly giving it to whoever? The halacha is what to say about this. And often people will prioritize, Aniyei Iracheres, even in, whether Eretz Yisrael or otherwise, over Aniyei Ircha. And if you live in a particular town, so you're supposed to be giving precedence to local Aniyim and to local organizations over what's going on in Eretz Yisrael or elsewhere. Now, in terms of how you define Aniyei Ircha, so the Rambam already quotes that it's not purely geography, kavuim be'ir, kruim ani'ir, they take precedence over acherim haboim l'sham mekomos acherim. It's not a question of where you're located right now. It's a question of where are you sitting, where are you based? I happen to be in your town, but I don't really live here. I'm just passing through. That doesn't make me ani'ir. Shechter has said that the chalal, it's not totally in sort of like a definition of of the year. You're in the Tchum Shabbos, you're outside the Tchum Shabbos. If you're in a big city, it has to do with your neighbor. If I live in Washington Heights, I may have no more connection to what's going on in Lower East Side, let's say, or Midtown, than what's going on in Queens or New Jersey. So Ani Yircha is your neighborhood. Rejecta suggested that the Chlal, Ani Yircha might more broadly mean not only people in my geographical zone, but institutions that I have a personal connection with. If I'm an alumnus of the yeshiva, so that may be aniye ircha relative to other yeshivas. It may be wonderful to support all yeshivas, but the yeshiva that I went to, the yeshiva that my children went to, the yeshiva that I have a personal connection to, that's also a form of aniye ircha. Now then the Ramah quotes what the Tur quotes later from Rav Sadia Gaon. Well, Parnosas atzmo kodemus l'chaladim. You don't have to give any tzedakah until you have your own parnos in place. And then you go to Avi V'Imo. And then you go to Bana. And Achiv, and Shar Krovim, and so on and so forth. And you'll notice that the Ramah also breaks down a little more Shechenim, and then Aniyeh Iro. And it's giving sense, even within Aniyeh Ircha, we differentiate between particularly close and somewhat close. Your next door neighbor is not family, is not a Karov, he's more, a higher level, just like there are multiple levels of Krovim, there are multiple levels of Ani Yircha. Shechinim is super close, and then Ani Yircha, the whole city or the whole neighborhood. And then the Chasam Sofer suggests that within the third chunk, Eretz Yisrael, we also differentiate between Yushalayim and the rest of Eretz Yisrael. But the Aruch HaShulchan points out that we need to, let's take it back and try to understand this a little bit. So the first thing he says is, what do you mean Kodman? What do you mean Kodman? What do you mean to give precedence? What does give precedence mean? So if my maser is so vast, I'm so wealthy that my maser is so vast that I could take care of family and then also have left, I take care of all the needs of the aniyim within my family and then also take care of the needs of aniyim, in the city and maybe even have something left over for others, so that I understand. What do you mean by Kodma? Take care of this, and the remainder will take care of that, and then whatever I have left, take care of level 3. Well, let's say I'm not so incredibly wealthy. I have some Maser Ksafim, Baruch Hashem, make a living. I have Maser Ksafim. So what does that mean? I'm supposed to go down the line. First, I should spend money on Krovei Mishpacha, and if I don't have enough to cover all the needs of Krovei Mishpacha, I don't give anyone else at all. And only if you have enough to cover all your Krov Mishpacha, then you work your way down to Ani Yircha. And only if you have enough to cover all Ani Yircha, then you work your way down to Ani Yircha. Aruch HaShulchan says, really? He says, you mean Aniyim with rich relatives will get taken care of. And anyone without rich relatives will not going to get anything. Because everyone's going to be given to Mishpacha only. How many Ashirim can take care of their entire Mishpacha plus have something left over? Relatively few. It's hard to imagine. And that's what we mean by Kodman. So Aruch HaShulchan says, no. Kodman doesn't mean take care only of level 1, and when you've completed all of that, then you move day machsor, then you move down to level 2, level 3. No. He says, you're supposed to be giving spraying yours. We're talking about diversification here, in contemporary terms of investing. We're talking about diversifying your tzedakah giving. We don't mean you invest totally in level 1, only if level 1 is totally covered, then you move down to level 2. He said, it's a question of what the blend is. Everyone should be given a blend, if you have Aniyeh Mishpacha, to Aniyeh Mishpacha, and to Aniyeh Ha'ir, and to Aniyeh Ir Acheres, Eretz Yisrael and otherwise. Everyone's supposed to be diversifying their tzedakah giving. So it's a question of how do you divide it. Number one, you don't just divide it randomly, and you don't divide it evenly. You should give precedence to Mishpacha, and then less to Aniyeh Ha'ir, which are not Mishpacha, then less to Eretz Yisrael than to non-Eretz Yisrael. And different posts can have different senses of what the number should be. We're talking about a 2-to-1 ratio, two-thirds goes to family, then two-thirds what remains goes to Aniyeh Ha'ir. So some posts can write, Aruch HaShulchan has looser language. Aruch HaShulchan here in Reish and Aleph, I believe it's Seif Dalid, that doesn't correspond to Shulchan Aruch Seif Dalid. He has his own. Aruch HaShulchan, what he does is he uses a simanim of the Torah of Shulchan Aruch, but within each simon, he goes through the topics, but not in a sif by sif way. He'll start, it sort of gives you a
Tur Shulchan Aruch plus all blend together. We'll start from the Makoros and Chazal, Rishonim, work our way through Talach Lamaisa, and then move on to the next topic in the Siman. So his Sif numbers don't necessarily correspond exactly. The overall sequence of topics is more or less the same as the Shulchan Aruch. See, here he begins this discussion. He lays out the basic dinim in Sifim Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, of Reish and Aleph, and then Sif Dalid, Sif Hei, Sif Vav, Sif Zayin, Sif Ches, those five Sifim, he develops this idea. He says, it can't mean that you only give to level one. No. He says, it's a question of how you balance it. It's a question of how you balance it. And he says, let's take it a step further. He says, how are you going to understand Rav Sadigon? Right, Rav Sadigon, Ramokor, from the Torah B'Shem Rav Sadigon, that Parnassas Atzmo comes first. Yeah, take care of Parnassas Atzmo, then you move on to Avav, Imo, and so on. What do you mean? Parnassas Atzmo comes first, meaning the way I take care of anyone else? The way I take care of anyone else. Ideally, Dei Machzor, take care of them in a reasonable way. Not necessarily luxurious, but reasonable. So first I take care of myself to the point of view of full, reasonable care. I don't spend anything on staka beyond the shlishi shekel. No meiser, no chomesh, until my needs are totally taken care of. He says, really? It's hard to imagine. He says, no. What you really mean, again, is this rebalancing. See, he says, when the Rav Sadigon said, parnasas atzmo kodemes, that really meant, when your mom is lechem tzar, a bare minimum, just to get by, that has to come first. But once you have what you need to get by, even though you're not living by reasonable local standards, but, you know, I can put food on the table. Beyond that point, I should give something to tzedakah. Again, with that something, if I'm tight, so a big chunk of that will still go to me. But not all of it. We're not talking about only giving a shlis or shekel. I'll prioritize myself, but also give to others and blend it out. And the truth is, it becomes clear that when he says parnasas atzmo kodemes and you lock out everything else, it's only in a case where you're tied. You see that from the second step also. Because level two after parnasas atzmo was avi v'imo. And yet, the Shach points out in Sifkatan Hei that to give, to support one's parents out of one's tzedakah money is only mutter if you can't otherwise do it. He quotes from the halachas of Kibra Ve'im, Reish Mem. Miyado maseges tavo me'eril mishmafarim says avav mimo tzedakah. If I have the wherewithal to give masek safim to other aniyim and still take care of a situation where one's parents need financial support, if I have the wherewithal to give one's parents financial support without having to go into masek safim money, then it's a terrible bizayim to one's parents. It's a lack of kibra adem, of mora adem, support your parents with tzedakah. So if that's the only way, so that's not a bizayim. That's what I have. Adra, that's like the Gemara says in the Kibra Ve'im Sugyas. It's all a question of context. And the Jew who put his father to work, grueling work in the mill, the situation with that was actually a great mitzvah because he was saving his father from having to do a dangerous government job of being drafted into the army. So even though he's putting his father, giving his father very, very laborious work, but he in context, he was helping his father. He was doing avlah. So that's Kibra Ve'im. The same thing here. If the only way I could take care of my parents, or take care of their financial support, is through my six offerings. That's a beautiful thing. But if I could do it without it, and I'm choosing to give them out of my six offerings, that's a bizayim. So tavo me'era, a curse upon the person who didn't have to subject his parents to taking his tzedakah money and did it anyways. So what do you see? You got level two also. Avav imo is only when I'm tight. When I'm not tight, when I could take care of my parents outside my six offerings, then they're off the list. They're off the list. Okay, so what you see, again, circling back, is that Bechlal, this list is meant to be not absolute. You only go to one level, down to one level, once you've fully filled all the other levels. It's a question of how do you balance. And again, like I was saying before, so some posts talk about numbers, maybe at each level there's a 2-to-1 ratio. Our Hashulchan says at the end of Ozvav, our Hashulchan says, nah. Our Hashulchan says, Davar Zet Sorech, you give them the krov of Nos Mechel Kayos Agal. Give the larger chunk to those who are closer and those who are higher on the list. Karov, that overall rule is Karov Kodim. Whoever is closer, again, closer in terms of family and then closer in terms of geography or personal connection. But he says, this requires assessment. You can't break it down in great detail. I think what he means is you have to make a judgment of what the numbers are going to be. Ladakhi says, it sounds like he's saying, I can't give you a magic number. There's a particular ratio between each level and the next level. There has to be, you have to figure out what makes sense, what the needs are. You have to look at how much you have to give and how much that corresponds to what the needs are, but it needs to be a clear, there may not be any one magic number, but it needs to be a clear prioritize. It needs to be clear you're giving significantly more to this level than to the next level down. Significantly more to that level than to the next level below that. Question.
He expects you to give to every single person on the list, and you just have to allocate it so that it fits with everyone?
At least if you have what to give, he says, otherwise, he says, number one, the aniyim without kerovim ashirim yigvu barav, will die of starvation. They'll manage to have nothing. And he says, a city without any ashirim in it. All the ashirim are only giving to ani ircha, so a city without ashirim, they're done for. He said, no, it has to be that things are spread around. So again, depends how much you're giving. If you're in a position to give a few $100, I'm not sure that you're not going to write 100 checks out of a few $100. But you have to figure, that's what he says. Yibshol v'arba practice. You have to make a reasonable assessment, looking at how much you have to give, looking at what the needs are. Again, also some people, everyone's different in terms of how big are the needs in your ear and how big are the needs in your family. Some people have multiple family members who are struggling. Some people have no family members who are struggling. Some people have close family members who are struggling. Some people say, in my nuclear family, everyone's okay. They may not be wealthy, but no one is stuck up. But there may be more distant relatives. So again, every situation is different. How much you have to offer in total and where the needs stack up in terms of the priorities. The different levels of Krovei Mishpacha, the different levels of Ircha and Eretz Yisrael. And then beyond Eretz Yisrael.
What about those who need it more?
So that's another point that the Shulchan Aruch makes the point later. Shulchan Aruch makes the point later that Hachem Ayaskinan, this list of priorities and when the needs of the different aniyim are similar. Shulchan Aruch goes on to say later that Sib Zayin, for instance, there are other, and beyond, there are other issues to take into account also. If the needs are extreme, so that can change things. For instance, Chayav Lahakdim Lahakal HaRav Milchasos HaArum, that we're gonna give priority to food over clothing or to other issues, and that takes us back also. It takes us back also to the other address for the issues of Kedima and Tzedakah. It's mostly Reishon Aleph, or the bulk of Reishon Aleph is Kedima and Tzedakah, but there's a little bit that made its way into the end of Reish Mem Tes. Why? Because the Beis Yosef quoted Tshuvas Marit at the end of Reish Mem Tes, you may have seen, and there's no Torah doesn't discuss it there, but the Beis Yosef decided to put the Tshuvas Marit about some of these issues at the end of Beis Yosef Reish Mem Tes, so that's where it appears in Shulchan Aruch, the last few Se'ifim. He talks about the Se'ifim Tezrav and Tezayin. He talks about priorities in terms of different types of needs. So Tezrav, he talks about Hachnasas Kala, marrying off a young woman who can't command her own, Besulos Anios, Shach talks about, is it only specifically if she has no family at all, she's Yisov, or even if she has a family, the family is not able to marry her off. This, the language of Shulchan Aruch sounds like a situation whether there's an intact family or not. Even if there's an intact family, but the family doesn't have the financial wherewithal to marry them off. That's a particularly powerful degree of tzedakah. Ein tzedakah gedol mizu. That's resh from tes sif tes vav. And then, sif tes zayin. Very intriguing line in the Shulchan Aruch. Yesh mi sha'omer. There is one who says, that means that the Jewish Marik quotes this. Jewish Marik quotes this. Again, this is the Beis Yosef, the end of resh and tes. He tells you to look in the Jewish Marik. Sif Tezav came from Tshuva Kuf Chav Gimel. Sif Tezayin comes from Tshuva Kuf Chav Ches. In the Maharik, the Maharik Cologne, quotes a Tashbeit, so quotes a Rabbi Yishmuel, who's Medayik in Yerushalmi, in Masechus Peah is all about the Matnas Aniyim, agricultural Matnas Aniyim, like a Shicha Peah Maiserani. There's a lot there in terms of Tzedakah as well, in the Yerushalmi on Peah. The Rishalmi said that he's Yesh Mi Shomed. My Rick quotes Rishalmi, who are Mendaik. The Rishalmi, Shemit, because the Rishalmi talks about a situation where the Amaroma walking by, they see they're building a shul. There's some conversation about should they be building a shul, should they spend the money on Anim. And it's difficult, a question of Girsos and that Rishalmi, how you read the Rishalmi. So the Marik quoted Rishonim. Marik himself was a late Rishonim, he quotes somewhat early Rishonim, who were Mendaik in. In Yerushalmi, that mitzvah beis haknesses here reishman tesis tazayin mitzvah beis haknesses adifa mitzvah tzedakah. That building a shul takes precedence over anim, but the mitzvah tzedakah in the armu motoro lecholim anim adif mitzvah beis haknesses. Certain types of tzedakah take precedence over beis haknesses, but stam tzedakah don't. The tzedakah to particular type classes of anim, those who are learning Torah or those who are sick, that's higher, and then the way Shulchan Aruch presents Marik, and then comes Beis HaKnesses, building a shul, upkeep of a shul, and then comes other anim. And the Vilna Gaon is incredibly upset about this, as is Aruch HaShulchan. They both say two things. Number one, there's a Tosis in Bava Basra, Daf Tes, who has one line where he says, it's clear that he's assuming as Dover Pashuk that Tzedakah is takes precedence over Beis HaKnesses. Says, give me the Beis HaKnesses, kol shekein l'tzedakah. This is like the milsa de pshita. And they say, the Vilna Gaon at length, in Sif Katan Chaf, he quotes Yerushalmi as a source for the Shulchan Aruch, but then he points out, depends what the gear says, depends how you read the Yerushalmi. See, at the end of the last two lines of the Be'er Agros of Katan Chaf, Diktek Marik Shmamel Shel Shar Tznagah Beis HaKnesses. He had a deal, the way that the Marik quotes to read the Yerushalmi, they were saying, oh, they should have given tzedakah rather than spending on Beis HaKnesses because those aniyim are of a particular sort. They're ill or they're involved in Limud HaTorah. He says, I know Mukhruch, that deal is not all Mukhruch Yerushalmi, and certainly if you have a different Girsa, he says, it's not what it sounds like at all. And, as I mentioned before, Ayin Tosis Bava Basra. Tesem Rav. There's a Koshkin Lebeis HaKnesses. Yeah. Tzedakah Beis HaKnesses. And Tosis assumes Dabra Pashut. That giving to Tzedakah is a stronger Chiyuv than giving to Beis HaKnesses. And I think that's what we usually assume. That's the way we intuit. Remember, a number of years back, there was, must have been close to a decade ago. Beth Abraham had begun to work on different needed expansions of the shul, nothing fancy, we needed more space here, we needed more space in this room, more space in that room, and there were three different pieces of the expansion that were going to be done, and after the second one, they were ready to start the third one. That's when there was the most recent economic downturn, and Rabbi Neuber put out a letter that if you can still afford, then you should give tanim. A rise in the number of families that are not able to support themselves reasonably, so that has to take precedence. Some of the people who were prepared to give perhaps are no longer able to give, and if you are able to give, you need that. That's we assume like the Aruch HaShulchan and the Lagam, that we're going to give priority to giving tanim or giving to Beis HaKnesses. It doesn't mean you shouldn't give Beis HaKnesses at all. Again, like the Aruch HaShulchan was saying before, it's a question of how you allocate and how you emphasize. Question of emphasis. It's not a question, again, unless someone's incredibly strapped. If you have some flexibility in terms of giving tzedakah, so you're going to want to diversify, you're going to give emphasis to aniyim over beis hakneses. You're going to give emphasis within aniyim to krovim over non-krovim. Within the krovim, those krovim are particularly close. Within non-krovim, you're going to give emphasis to aniyah ha'ir, and within that, to shcheinim. As I mentioned before, aniyah ha'ir can be both geographical or just institutions with whom I have a connection. Within non and tzedakah of aniyim, or not krovim, not aniyah ha'ir, you give precedence to Eretz Yisrael, perhaps as the Chasam Sofer wrote particularly to Yerushalayim, even more so, and then to aniyah ir ayaros acheros who are not in Eretz Yisrael. And one more point about the question of tzedakah versus beis hakneses, and with this we'll close. In addition to the he'arav when we go in the Aruch HaShulchan, that the source of the Ma'arik does not necessarily support his assertion that you should prioritize giving to a shul over giving to aniyim. There's Darkei Moshe here. On the Ma'arik, the Darkei Moshe, at the end of Reish Mantes, this is one of those cases, Darkei Moshe is the end of Reish Mantes of Kan Beis, this is one of those cases where the positioning of the Raman Shulchan Aruch doesn't always correspond to the positioning in the Darkei Moshe. So the Darkei Moshe is the very end of the Siman, but Raman Shulchan Aruch has it at the beginning of the Siman. He says, Maser Ksafim in particular is meant specifically for Aniyim, not for other mitzvahs that you have here. Raman, the end of Sival, Reish Mantes Sival. Ein Las is Maser Shlo Devar Mitzvah, Kilo Neiros Beis HaKnesses, Ushar Dvar Mitzvah, that is lighting for the shul is a legitimate Dvar Mitzvah to enable people to daven, enable Kavod by Sakneses, but it's an important mitzvah, it's a valuable way to spend money, but Master Ksafim is meant to be used specifically for Aniyim. Master Ksafim is meant to be used exclusively for Aniyim. He says even more strongly in the Darkei Moshe, quotes Maril. A Meister Shayach Lahanos Bo Aniyim. Meister is meant for giving to aniyim, that is what it's meant for. To give to mitzvahs, whether it's a mitzvah like you wanted to pay some of the shul's needs, or whether it's a mitzvah like my own lulav nesrik. My own lulav nesrik, that's a beautiful mitzvah. I have to spend money on that, but not my six often. I want to pay for someone else's lulav nesrik. I know that fellow came before lulav nesrik, so I'm going to write a check to the shul and say I'm paying his lulav nesrik bill, or for that matter, to a for-profit, a mocher esrogim, I say, I'll pay his bill for him. You let him know that his esrog is taken care of. That certainly is maser ksafim. That's tzedakah. And here's an ani who has a need. He doesn't need to buy a little nesek. He doesn't need to buy matzah. Whatever it is, a physical need, a spiritual need, I'm covering his needs. That certainly is tzedakah aniyim. That is legitimate use of maser ksafim. And again, we'll figure out who that ani is. We'll figure out where he falls in the list of emphasis of the diversification of tzedakah giving. But if it's not a question of covering, or even let's say to give based on crisis, is a fellow who can't pay his shul dues, they say, let him know he's taken care of. You shouldn't know who, you should let him know he's taken care of. But that's tzedakah aniyim. But just to take care of the needs of a shul in general, that is an important way to spend money. It's a valuable divrei mitzvah, but that would not qualify to be a way to spend maaser ksafim in particular, that should come from outside of the amount that's set aside for maaser ksafim.